Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support.
Friday. There he is. It's draft week. It's Christmas in the NFL. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm still trying to peel myself off the wall from the Knicks game on Monday evening. But yeah, good. Feeling great. How are you?
I've been using your team as a nice example of, hey, it really pays off to actually try in the regular season.
Yeah, it does. Because I got to tell you, that game's in Philly. That's a foul.
Yeah.
But it's not at the Garden. So, Tuesday.
Brother, shit like that happens all the time. Whatever. I love the NBA's last two-minute report. We're sorry. And what do I do with that, asshole? What do I do with that? Whatever.
The game earlier this year, obviously regular season game, the Knicks played the Rockets in Houston. And the Knicks had come way, like they had a huge comeback. They tied the game. And literally as the buzzer was sounding for the fourth quarter, the end to go to overtime, I forget who it was in the Rockets. The guy just jumped into Jalen Brunson from half court. And the Knicks started walking off the court in the area for overtime. They called the foul and gave the guy three free throws. And the Knicks lost their minds. If anybody doesn't believe me, go watch. God knows it's on YouTube.
I remember it. They
put out that two-minute report the next day. And they're like, yeah, we screwed that up. I'm like, no kidding.
Really?
But what good does it do anybody? Like, I would love if the NFL did that. Like, just put out, like, 40 missed calls every Sunday. They're like, listen, we know we totally screwed you. Oops. Yeah, I never understand why the NBA does this.
Trigger congressional movement and shit like that, because that's the NFL. The Congress would get involved. Did you see that? Yeah. The Redskins. I'm sorry. The Commanders got screwed. We need, whatever. You know, I could just see that because the football, oh my God.
Especially in football where every game is unbelievably important. Like it'd be unbelievable. And then of course, like if you're a Jets fan, you feel you got screwed and the NFL comes out, like you didn't get screwed, then it's a conspiracy. But the NBA's 2 minute thing. Also in that 2 minute report about that specific game, there were like three missed foul calls in the span of like 5 seconds. Right. Like one on the Sixers, two on the Knicks. Somehow Maxie like giving a two-hand shove to Hart's chest like right before the inbounds play wasn't a missed call somehow. Like the NBA is the only sport that I feel like if the officials weren't on the court, nothing would change.
Brother,
that's fine. Just call your own fouls.
Brother, there's a referee dabbing up Anthony Edwards last night.
it's brutal.
I mean, come on,
it's just so bad. And like, I know as a Knicks fan in game 3 in Philly, like the disparity of free throws are going to be like 30 to 10. And the Knicks are going to have to just overcome it if they want to win, because it's just going to be Maxie's going to shoot like 20 free throws in that game.
And that's been going on since I was
forever.
Since I was a kid. Okay. I still remember Riley, or Jackson or whatever Celtics coach it was back in those days, complaining to the officials about this or that and getting these calls or that calls, Heat, Knicks, same bullshit. I mean, it's been going on for that's that league. That's just the way it is. Yeah. By the way, as you saw the conversation, because somebody was asking me about, the whole balance of everything and how much the quarterback and, my whole problem is that we put too much. While the quarterback is important, there's no doubt he's got to make plays. But brother, he cannot overcome everything. And so if you don't have a defense, there's a good chance he's not going to overcome that, because Marino couldn't overcome it. If he doesn't have an offensive line, Mahomes didn't overcome it. You know what I'm saying? So lesser quarterbacks are going to have even more trouble overcoming all that kind of stuff. When the great, great ones have those roadblocks, you know what I mean? Like I put with like Kurt Warner, we're looking at Kurt Warner like, brother, what happened to you? You're like lost there with Derek Brown. And like, it's going back and forth. It looks terrible. Aren't you the guy from the Rams? And then he goes to the Cardinals and he has an excellent offensive minded coach. And oh my God, and everything's changed. It's just, I know we're quarterback centric, but I think the fan base and even certain media, I think they put way too much weight and expectation on the one guy.
I agree to an extent. I think, look, they're, I think it's unfair when the situation around the guy is completely untenable. And, you know, it's like, well, why doesn't he win more? Well, because the team stinks. Like, I'll give you a guy that this year I think it's coming. Dak Prescott. The Cowboys are like, oh, it's this big referendum of a year. Well, they suck around them. They just let half the team walk away. I mean, they don't suck in terms of, like, they're not the Panthers, but, like, they're not as good as they were the last couple of years. Well, mm-hmm. Why would they be better? Why the hell do you think he's going to win 13 games? I mean, based on what? The Commanders are about to draft a quarterback. The Eagles, you would think, will bounce back to some extent here. The Giants might get a quarterback. Like, why are the Cowboys going to be better after they signed Eric Kendricks and nobody else this offseason? I think a lot of times, you know, you'll look at situations and they don't get enough weight into how a guy plays. Like this draft coming up is a perfect example. If I'm a quarterback in the first round this year, I am begging to go to Minnesota. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, offensive-minded coach, Christian Jarosław is my left tackle. I play indoors. For the love of God, let me go to Minnesota. Like, how different is J.J. McCarthy's career if he's in Minnesota or New England? It's pretty damn different. Like, in New England, you don't have any weapons, and you have a first-year defensive-minded head coach, and you're playing outside, and, like, you're in the AFC where every team has a quarterback. Situations matter in life and in sports. They matter. There's no way around it.
By the way, just my theory, Dallas did this on purpose because they don't want to pay Dak.
Oh, I agree with you.
They're kind of setting him up because he's really not the kind of – it's just there's only a couple of guys that existed in the history of time that are just going to try to carry you and
right,
will
the whole team on their back.
Yeah, they can. They're not going to be able to overcome everything, but they'll will you through some things. Mahomes is one of those kind of guys that can will you through some things. Like I mentioned before you came on, the year he had the offensive line, he willed you through some things. But brother, you want him to be fucking Atlas now all of a sudden?
Yeah, I'll let's give go. You. So I had to do my 10 predictions for the NFL draft. My editor asked me to do this week, and I had some fun with it. But here's my hottest prediction. I think actually might happen. Dallas is going to take quarterback in the first round. If Michael Penix Jr. is there at 24, I think they're going to do it. I do. Because what is the plan? What is the plan here? If you believed in Dak, you would already paid him. And I don't think they believe in him. He's getting to be on now on the other side of 30. I don't think they want to pay him. That's pretty obvious, I think, for most people to see. And I think if you're Dallas, look, the board's got to fall the right way. I'm not saying I don't think they're going to make some big move up, right? But, like, if Penix is sitting there at 24, I think they'll take him. I think they'll take the quarterback.
It'll become a circus. It'll become a circus for a whole year.
And if they don't take him in the first round, maybe they take, like, Spencer Rattler on day two.
Okay, I can see that.
Because the idea that they're drafting they're going forward with Trey Lance is ridiculous. That's not happening.
Like, no, that's a project. You try.
See, that was like, hey, we'll take a lotto ticket on the kid. Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
That is my hottest take. That if Michael Penix Jr., maybe Bo Nix, is there at 24, they'll take one of them.
That would make some interesting discussions in Dallas, and the writers are going to have even more material. And every moment that Dak struggles or has a bad moment, they're going to be talking Michael Penix right away. That would make everything a little crazy, you know? What'd you think of, I mean, it was the inevitable now because you would look like complete idiots if you didn't do it and pretty evil. But Reggie Bush getting back his Heisman. I thought that was the least they could do, actually, considering the direction that college football is in right now.
I think if he didn't give him back his Heisman, it would be beyond embarrassing. Look, I remember that whole story from, God, what was it now, 15 years ago, when all this came out and Jason Cole and Charles Robinson were the ones who really kind of broke all this stuff. And I am in full disclosure, I'm very, very, very good friends with Jason Cole. He was my editor in chief for 18 months, covered the Dolphins forever. Yeah. Jay and I are super tight. And I,
Jay used to house me.
Really? On the,
yeah, dude, because when I first got in this business 20, 30 years ago,
yeah,
when I first started, like when I first got in the business, a radio guy, I'm looking around going, well, dude, writers are the only ones that travel and they break all the stories. And I go, well, how am I going to break any stories? How am I going to get anything? And so I started, you know, QAM doesn't, you know, so I started paying my own way to the Senior Bowl, the Combine, the East-West Shrine, all that. So when I would go, he didn't go to the East-West, but he would go to the Senior Bowl, the Combine. And so I would stay in his hotel the first couple of years because I didn't have the money. Yeah. So he goes, dude, I have an extra bed. And so I had to count on Jason Cole, Armando Salguero, Alex Marquez. That was kind of my foundation guys that kind of like, you know, taught me the ropes and all that shit when I was on the road and shit like that. So I, you know, I've known Jason for 30 years, dude. And
yeah, Jason's a great guy.
Actually, one of the few writers, because one of the things that people don't know about writers is most writers, they, since they're stuck on their beats, they don't really get to know even their own leagues, or and they certainly don't know what's going on in other sports at all, pretty much, except for fucking Jason Cole.
Yeah, Jason knows everybody.
Exactly. I could talk baseball. I could talk basketball with Jason. I could talk college. Like he, somehow or another, Jason had time. He was one of those writers that was well-versed in everything else. One of the few writers that I've met in my lifetime that I could actually talk just all sports with him, not just one sport. So
Jason's the man. I totally changed my career. Made me
that big head did not go to waste.
That's right. It does have a giant head. Yeah, he does
a giant head, and there's a giant brain in there.
Yeah.
By the way, you know the Atkins story?
God, if I do, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Dean Atkins. So he writes an article about.
Yes, I do know the story. Oh yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, Jason Cole in the Herald writes, or maybe it was the Sentinel. I don't know. It was the Sentinel.
It was the
Sentinel many years, and then joined the Herald with Armando after then he left.
Yeah.
So at the Sentinel, he writes his story about Gene Atkins, who was struggling badly, and he was over
hard-hitting safety.
Right. And at those times, the numbers for contracts didn't get out nearly as much. You would really have to know an agent. You'd have to kind of get into the system. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The people in the inside know what the hell I'm talking about. And so obviously he was able to get it inside and get the numbers. And dude, Gene Atkins was livid that Jason wrote that story. And Jason's just there interviewing another player, and out of nowhere, Gene Atkins tackles his ass in the locker room, bro. And that place, you know, it wasn't like Jason was fighting him or anything. It's just, right. You know, separating broad because Atkins was a little crazy. So,
That Jason, is a true story because I've heard that story. I know you know, but I'm just saying, like, I'll corroborate. That's a true story. Yeah, no.
One day, him and Armando wrote these pieces about Jimmy and brother. I'm standing there on the field because Jimmy used to let us literally stand on the field, bro. All the way around the field, training camp.
Different and
it was the best back in the day. Yeah, it was so awesome.
Whole different.
And so I'm there, and then Armando gets there, and then Jason arrives a little later than him, like 15 minutes later. The second that Jimmy notices Jason and Armando are there, he comes storming off the field. And he looks at Armando and Jason. He goes, you, come here. And he takes him inside. And he's just ripping into them and all kinds of stuff. And it was just a funny thing. Because when you're a good writer, you're not going to hold back, bro. You're going to call shit.
You got to say like it is. No, I mean, Jason's a great friend. He changed my career from being a writer to a reporter. He used to, when we worked together at Fanside, he locked me out of our office with my laptop, and he's like, you're in the NFLPA system, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, go in, find the page with all the agents' phone numbers, and just start calling them. And I was terrified. I was like 27 years old. I'm like, bro, I don't know how to do that. He's like, just start cold calling them. Tell them who you are. Tell them you're not going to go anywhere and that they need to play ball with you. And to their credit, most of the agents were like, hey, man, okay, you know, cool. I'm sure they were like, what the hell's going on? But like, it was Jason forced me to get into the news breaking side of things. And as comfortable as it was at first, like, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I mean, without him, there's no way I'm in Sports Illustrated.
Right.
But Jason, I'll have to tell him we're talking about during this interview. But Jason was hilarious. But anyway, he was the one. He and Charles Robinson, when he was at Yahoo, they broke the story. Damn. And that was what led to all this stuff with the Heisman, you know, trophy and Bush. But I don't want to speak for Jason. I would wager that I think at this point, everybody feels like, yeah, it's probably best that it's back and, you know, in his hands, he deserves it. I mean, also, let's be real. Jason and Charles did amazing work and got the story. How many other guys who have a Heisman trophy sitting on their mantle? A lot worse stuff than what Reggie Bush did, right? Just Reggie got caught. Reggie was a little sloppy with it.
Somebody just passed away that allegedly was a double murderer. I mean, I don't
know. Same school as Reggie Bush.
You know, both slashers, except one took it literally. I don't know. You know, what can I tell you? I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's just, it's crazy stuff. So Daniels or May at number two?
I think it's going to be Daniels. I would take May. I think it's going to be Daniels.
Okay. Yeah, I would take May also. Yeah. Did you see that article today that I found it funny. He wants to be the best running quarterback because, you know, Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson. I'm like, don't you want to be Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady? Championships? Who gives a shit about being the best running quarterback? Yeah. I looked at that and I go, Jaden, my brother, like, you're already not even focused on the right thing. You're the me attitude is already taking, you know, you only run if it benefits you. You want to win games. You want to win titles. And then last time I checked, the guys from the pocket are the ones that win. Mahomes is not running to run. He runs because I've got no effing choice. This is the play that my team needs right now. I have no choice. That's when he's running. That's smart.
You run because you need to. I think if you're playing the quarterback position at the optimal level. Now, granted, if you're Lamar Jackson, you drop back and, you know, parts like the Red Sea in front of you, then sure, go for it. But like, yes, more often than not, you should only be running if you have to run. Like, that's, I mean, you know, I look at Josh Allen as an example of this. Like, Josh Allen, I get it. You know, I get that that's a huge part of his game. Like, how long is his career going to be, though? Like, I mean, now he's, granted, the man is the size of a linebacker, so maybe it works out for him.
He'll last like Cam Newton.
But, like, you know, at some point, man, I don't care who you are. That stuff adds up. And I say this all the time, and people always push back on it, but if you talk to people in the league, they'll tell you the same thing. I don't care how big of a quarterback you are. Those guys hitting you, those safeties, those linebackers, those DNs, they're bigger and stronger than you are 90% of the time. They just are. Like, those linebackers, like, Allen's huge. Those linebackers are 250 and run a 4.5. Like, they're bigger than you, man. Like, at some point, it's going to add up. And I think the biggest problem I have with some guys who run like Allen is like, get down, man. Like, if you're going to run, fine, get down. You know, that is one thing I will say with Mahomes. Mahomes never takes a big hit. Like, if you watch him run, he doesn't, unless it's a playoff game and he's got to have it.
Yeah.
He gets down or he gets out of bounds. Yeah. He does not take a lot of big hits. He just doesn't. Like, he will get himself out of bounds because, like, what's the point? It's week 7 against the Jets. Bro, just go out of bounds.
Yeah, dude. Plus, he doesn't have the body to be doing. Like, I get Josh Allen thinks, you know, because he is big. But Cam Newton was his size and actually even better built.
Yeah, Cam was even a bigger dude. Yeah. I would, defined.
It was like, you know, that guy had the body that we all pray we had because we know all women would be like, you know, just in line, just like that. And the NFL broke his ass. Okay.
I'll give you another guy, not a big scrambler, Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger was huge. Now, he wasn't a big runner, although he could run a little bit early on in his career.
Time.
But he would just sit in the pocket And it was like, you basically just sack him. It was like the third guy in was going to be the one who finally, like, you know, finished the job. But, like, look at how he was at the last three, the 5 years of his career. He couldn't move. Like, he just couldn't play anymore. Because all those hits, I don't care who you are. After a while, it adds up. It just does. Like, if I'm Jaden Daniels, the last thing I want to do is run just to run. Like, I get it, man. You're super athletic, and you can pick up yardage like that. And if I'm the Commanders and I draft him, if I'm Dan Quinn, the first thing I'm telling him, hey, man, you want to run, go for it. You better get down. Right. I don't want to see you trying to take on a linebacker. Like, and if you look at Jaden Daniels in college, he took a lot of hits, man. He took some massive hits because he wouldn't get down. That cannot happen at pro life.
And he will die in the NFL that way, you know. And this has been going on since the beginning. Brother, you want to be Joe Cap? You go ahead, bro. You're going to take an effing beating if you want. That's just, this has been going on. You want to be Joe Namath? And you want to hang in there and be the tough guy and wait till the last second? He did it all the time for the Jets. He waited for the last moment. He was ironclad tough. And his knees were shot, his body. And by the time he got to the Rams, he was just mincemeat because he played that fearless game. And you know why Marino lasted so long? Because he got rid of the football. He threw it away. Dan was not going to be taking a lot of hits either, actually. He took some, but he was smart. That's why he played for so long. That's why his Achilles tore, he didn't even replace it. He didn't repair it and let it like that and just wore some boot because he just found the guy and let it fly right away. You know, if you get that, then you can live longer. But if you want to be Mr. Tough Guy, brother, yep. The league is littered for 50, 70 years of those guys, and they all end badly, bro. They all end badly. They all end beaten up. Doug Williams took a beating, and he was strong as an ox, bro. And he took a beating, man. You know, it just tough guy quarterbacks. It only goes so far in the NFL. You're not tougher than them. You're just not, bro.
You're not tougher, and you're not bigger.
McMahon, another guy that played like a linebacker. And, bro, you're a quarterback. You're not a linebacker. I mean, I've watched this since I was a child, bro. You just – there has to be a certain level. And when I see Jaden Daniels, I'm like, young man, you're not focused, bro. You're not focused. You don't want to be a running quarterback. You want to win from the pocket. Yeah. I don't get that one, man. I don't get that one. What's it called? So how many quarterbacks go in the first round from what you're hearing finally? Because, you know, down here in Dolphin Land, we're hoping 87 quarterbacks go in the first 20 picks. Even though there's only 20, we're hoping 87 go in there. Yeah. So what are you hearing?
I think there's at least going to be 5. I think there'll be 6. I think the question is Knicks, and I think he goes. I think he'll go. Denver is really interested in him. That has been known since the Senior Bowl. I mean, that was like common knowledge in January. I think the question is whether or not they take him at 12, they trade back and take him. But I think there's going to be 6. I think certainly 5.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Dolphins. I'm leaning. I don't mind. I mean, I would love Latu. I would love Verse at 21. I don't think Verse will last.
He'd be a steal. Yeah.
Yeah, he would be a steal. I think it's going to go more offensive linemen.
I agree.
Than anything else. But what do you think for the Dolphins at 21?
Interior offensive lineman. I think that's, you know, Jackson Powers Johnson, maybe Graham Barton, somebody of that ilk. If there's a real big edge rusher, like if Verse is there, I think they take him. Like if that kid is there, I think they take him.
How about Latu?
Latu is interesting. Latu. I think the big question with him is a lot of people are like super high in his talent. I saw him at the Senior Bowl. He was dominant. He was great at UCLA. The question is, you had a neck fusion. Where are you? How comfortable are you on his health? That's the question most teams have to answer. Yeah, man. If I had to guess, I'll say interior offensive line. That would be my guess for Miami at 21.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. What do you got going on SI, my man?
I got quite a bit going on. I got a lot going on. So about 20 minutes ago, my 10 predictions for the NFL draft went up. I also have tomorrow instant grades on every pick in the first round. I will have my day two mock draft coming out right after the first round's done. My five favorite picks, my five least favorite picks. I got a whole bunch of stuff. So just go to SI.com and go to my Twitter feed, and you will find all of it and much more.
And follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam there. Matt, as always, you're a stud, my brother. We will catch up next week, my friend. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good. Take care.
You got it. Matt Verderam, good stuff there as always. Love it. Love it. Love it. Acura Pembroke Pines, they got the spring into performance sales event going on right now at 15601 Pines Boulevard, just off of I-75 in Pines. They got a beautiful service center there. Mike Chan, Jordan Ferber, they do excellent work. They got a great little lobby there, two great big lobby, actually. Great comfortable area, TVs, free water. There's a little fridge on the far left corner. There you can get a bottle of water if you want. They got a little cafeteria. You want to get a pastelito, sandwich, soda, snacks, whatever, while you're waiting for your oil to be changed or whatever it is, tires, you name it. They do it all for you there at the service center. And, of course, the Spring Into Performance sales event right now, 1.9% financing for 36 months. So you can find out why Larry Schlossberg and the boys are the number one volume sales dealership in the Southeast United States. The Integra 299, the RDX 419, the MDX 489. You can get these 2024 models, 1.9% financing for 36 months. And they've got a large selection as always. So get on down there to 15601 Pines Boulevard. Go see Larry Schlossberg, Pat Nasto, Tony Stampone, all the great people out there at Craig's Inns, Acura of Pembroke Pines. All right. All righty. Kyle Krabs, by the way, will join us at the top of the hour. What else? Let's get to our 3A graphics sports calendar. Why don't we? Panthers last night went 2-0 in the series. Very important. Remember, you want to hold home ice. It's not home free or anything, folks. You got to start. You got to try to win one in Tampa now or both and sweep them. But you want to put some – now all the pressure's on Tampa. They have to win both games at home. They can't come back to Miami 1-3. But you're Florida, you want to come back at least 3-1. So this is beautiful, but you're holding serve right now. So let's see what they do. They've won 11 straight games in overtime. Last night, they had to go to overtime. They won 3-2. Carter Verhaeghe, as clutch as it gets. Huge goal. Beautiful goal. Bob with 21 saves. But that one save will be the save that we'll all remember reaching back and backhanding that. That thing was just absolutely amazing. Thursday is game 3 in Tampa at 7 o'clock. Game 4 will be at Saturday at 5 o'clock. So this is going to be awesome. Tarasenko and Bennett, who got injured, by the way, also with goals in that game. The Braves, what else? They blanked the Marlins 5-0. Max Fried fried the Marlins. 9 innings, 3 hits. So he's done. He beats the Marlins. The Braves are 16-6. The Marlins are 6-19. 720 Trust Bank Marlins Sixto Sanchez pitching today, 0-1 and a 6.14 ERA. And Reynaldo Lopez, 2-0 and a 0.5 ERA. A little bit of a difference there, Sixto. Anyway, tonight, 7 o'clock, Heat TNT. Celtics are favored by 14.5 points. The over and under is 202.5. The Heat are plus 800 on the money line. The Celtics are minus 1350. What can I tell you? We'll see what happens tonight. Let's hope for a respectable performance. Bam Adebayo was chosen for Defensive Player of the Year finalist. Good for him. 9:40 tonight. Fly, Pelican, fly. Taking on the Thunder. Thunder are leading 1-0 in that series. They're favored by 7.5. The over and under is 210.5. Pelicans plus 270 on the money line. Thunder minus 340. That is your 3A graphics sports calendar. The great Alan Blanco, 786-618-1443, custom printing and embroidery. And I should get everything. I am meeting with him on Thursday, so hopefully the store will finally get up because I can walk and I can drive and I can, because there's no way I can put the store up and then I can't drive to get the product. I can't drive to mail the product. I can't do any of that kind of stuff. So now that my foot is back, not completely, not way, like yesterday I was walking on a downhill, and dude, that right, my right foot got like, whoa, like, yo, yeah, be careful there, buddy. It was like, yeah, we're not completely healed there, man. Take it easy. And I was trying to go a little too fast on the downhill. And my right ankle reminded me, yo, my Achilles is still not all there yet. Relax, dude. You know, it kind of sent that signal. So I'm almost there, but I'm better. You know, I can drive, I can walk, but I can't go crazy yet. I'm probably, the doc told me I'm about another month to month and a half away from jogging. So that's pretty good. I'm getting closer. So that's going to be really, really good. I got to build up the walking now. That's the next thing. So there you go. By the way, last night, T-Wolves over Suns, 105-93. The T-Wolves outclassing the Suns, are leading 2-0. Pacers got back at the Bucks, 125-108. That series is tied at 1. Even Tyrese Haliburton didn't have a great game, and they still won. That was amazing. What's it called? Mavs over the Clippers, 96-93. That one is tied. And I can't believe it. The worst gambler in the world, Charles Barkley, was right yesterday. Because he, you know, normally all those guarantees, you like really go against Barkley on everything. But he guaranteed a Mavs win. So let me give him some credit, because first of all, I would never listen to any advice from Charles Barkley, because I think he really is as lazy a sports fan as he gets. It's all shtick out there, and it's great shtick, but actual knowing what's going on, he's not really watching. He's just throwing shit out there. That's probably why he loses so much. I stopped eating bread as beer. It's liquid beer. That's right. There you go. Josh Miller says, what's up from Seattle? Why? What's the one way Miami irritates us all during the draft? Well, I don't know. I guess if they take a receiver in the first round, that would irritate the shit out of me. That would irritate the shit out of me. I would disagree with Jimmy Johnson. I was so geeked over the Sunshine Boys. What are we disagreeing about? You were excited, right? But what's the reality? What's the reality? I was excited for Parcells. I was excited for Saban. I was excited for Jimmy. I thought Wayne was making the right moves at that time because those were the names. But what's the reality? So you disagree with me on after you got him for 4 years and he gave you once that? What are you disagreeing on? He stripped Marino of everything. He traded away Irving Fryer, got rid of Burke, Byers, and Kirby. And I'm trying to grasp, what are you disagreeing on? We were all excited when they signed him. Okay, but now you have the facts. Now you get to make the real opinion, because now you have everything, the totality of it. Nobody disagrees that you were excited when they signed Parcells, Jimmy, and Saban. But after the fact, what is your opinion? Is it different than mine's? Like, you think Jimmy was good for us? Not exactly sure where you're going at. Druckenmiller or Lawrence Phillips or Jairus McPhailliar? What are we talking about here? John Avery? What? No Randy Moss? What are we talking about here? After the fact, Cosa Nostra, what are we talking about here? I'm confused. Oh, is it me or you forgot to bring up the OBJ situation with Matt? No, I didn't want to bring up the OBJ situation with Matt. Why would Matt keep up with that? Jeremy Fowler is an insider that keeps up with that kind of stuff. I'm not going to put Matt Verderam is not like going to be keeping up with all the minutiae of every free agent. I'm not going to put him in that position, my brother. You know what I mean? He's more of a KC guy than that. He's a general NFL guy, but he's not necessarily an NFL beat guy. So you got to understand who you're interviewing. And so that's not really the proper question for him. You know what I mean? Because there's a very, if Jeremy doesn't know, and if I don't know, I'm pretty sure that Matt's not going to know. Put it that way. It's not an insult to Matt or anything. It's just, that's not his beat. That's not what he does. He doesn't follow the minutiae of all the free agents. That's not what he does. He's a writer, an NFL writer, and then he will report on things that he needs to go report on. But he is not going to be following the minutiae of the Bucks beat, the Dolphins beat, the Rams beat, the Giants beat. And all. No, that is Rappaport. That is Fowler. That is Schefter. That is, I don't know, you know what I'm talking about. Those kind of cats are the ones that have to follow the minutiae of all the bullshit. Matt Verderam is a national writer. He doesn't do those kind of things. So it's completely different jobs. So that's why I don't ask him that, because it's a waste of time at that moment. And it puts my guest in a position that it's a bad choice by me as a host to do that to them. You understand? So that's kind of the way it goes. And so that's the reason why. So it's not that I forgot. It's because it was strategically, you know, done that way. One Eye Jack says, JJ was a great coach for the U as Dallas, but major a-hole in Miami. He was on Inside the NFL the year before and slammed Shula all year. Exactly. And I disagree on the U part. He was not great. He had a great moment, but he underachieved, because the Fiesta Bowl team, I'm sorry, but to me, that's the greatest UM team ever. And I watched Jimmy Johnson do the dumbest shit I have ever seen any coach ever do in the history of South Florida sports. Yeah, I said it. He watched Vinny Testaverde choke his ass away in the Sugar Bowl, which you could have been even in the national championship conversation on that one, even with the win. Maybe you wouldn't have won it. And then the following year, you were better than Penn State. All you had to do was keep handing it off to Highsmith. It's all you had to do. Nothing else. He was killing them. And he kept allowing Vinny Testaverde to pass the ball. So you cannot be great when you fail to do something so simplistic, so elementary, so obvious. Meanwhile, Shula said the aforementioned game here on the show. Greasy. Hey, baby, I only need you to manage the game a couple times today. Defense and running game has got this thing in the bag. Have a great night. Let's win a championship. Passed 7 times. Why? Because Shula looked at what his team was. In 1984, he wasn't going to pass 7 times because he didn't have the running game. But in 1973, he had the running game. And he said, yeah, no, Zonka kick, Morris, yeah. Kuchenberg and Little, and yeah, we're good. We're good. By Jim Langer, you know, my guys will handle it. We'll pound the shit out of them all day long. The no-name defense will shut you down. Why put the ball in the air? Jimmy was the one that said, when you pass the ball, two out of three things can happen, and they're bad. And yet the moron in the Fiesta Bowl kept allowing the two of three things to happen with one of the biggest choking quarterbacks in the history of mankind, Vinny Testaverde. Because as talented as Jimmy, as Vinny was, let's call it like it is. Amarillo. And that is, in Spanish, choker. Dog. That could be misinterpreted. Because dog could be, you know, Dwayne Wade and Alonzo Mourning. You know, those are dogs. Udonis Haslam, dogs. Let me not even do that. I'm a dog lover. Let me not even insult dogs. Okay. Let me just do that. All right. I mean, choker above all chokers. Some of the greatest chokers in the history of all of sports. Vinny freaking Testaverde is in every conversation of the great. I don't care if you're talking Doc Rivers. Don't matter to me. I don't care what choker you're talking about in the history of mankind. Vinny Testaverde is right up there with the greatest chokers of all time. All time. I've never seen a guy get smaller in the biggest moments than Vinny choking ass Testaverde. So he was great in Dallas. He was good here. Not great. Good here. And for the Dolphins, he sucked. Because not only did he not do anything and ruin the end of Marino's career, he then put Wanstead in place. So, I don't know, bro. I'm sorry. I don't have the same love affair that some of you have with Jimmy Johnson down here. That in Dallas, they should have that love affair. Here, I totally disagree, dude. Dennis Erickson accomplished more with Jimmy's players than Jimmy did with his own players. Marinate on that one. And notice how I said with his players, because he won them in the first 3 years. Once Erickson's problem was he sucked as a custodian. You know what I mean? He wasn't a good recruiter and custodian. He was a disaster, unorganized. But he could X's and O's. Dennis Erickson was very good. Very good. Exceptional. He can coach. If you could get somebody else to like run everything else, you'd be all right. But you can't run it from Duffy's bar. Anyway, what are you going to do? It is what it is. Most of you on that one. Which is a good thing, by the way. But if you got it, you're laughing your ass off right now. Let's see. All Jimmy did was build a great defense, but in hindsight, he didn't do a great job at all. Well, dude, he built a great defense only for Wanstead to wear it out. Counterproductive. That's like figuring out how to go to the moon, but you forgot you want to return. Yeah, we got here. All right. How the fuck do we get back? Sometimes, you know, when you want to get over the top in life And you want your home, your HOA, your business complex to look really, really good. You want it to look sharp. Landscaping is the key. And Cutter's Edge Pro takes it to an absolutely another level. William Quigley and the folks. And by the way, even if you have some landscaping now, you're going, hey, you know, I got some landscaping. You know, but you're not keeping up with it, right? It's hard. It's hard work. They can do the maintenance for you also. And we are getting closer to hurricane season. Tree trimming and removals. Let's get to it. I don't want you guys on ladders and roofs and risking your lives. Call professionals that are fully insured. And guess who's been fully insuring you on the ice? Someone that is going to be our Cutter's Edge Pro MVP of the night.
Who's last night's MVP? For your complete landscape solutions anywhere in South Florida, there's only one MVP. CuttersEdgePro.com. Here's our CuttersEdgePro.com MVP of the night.
What else? Sergei Bobrovsky. Bob last night, only 21 saves. But that one save is going to go down in history as game saving, maybe series saving, maybe title leading save for the Panthers. And this is only the second game in the first round. Welcome to the Stanley Cup playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. You are about to witness and experience, for those of you that are new to this, the best playoffs that exist in all of pro sports. It's not football. It's not basketball. It's not baseball. It's not the MLS. No, it's not college football. It's the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. The best playoffs, the most exciting playoffs, wire to wire. Why? Because the effort and everything is left out there every single minute of every time on that ice. And we have been very lucky now that we now have a great franchise, one that is headed in the proper direction, makes the playoffs now every year. And now they can be a part of these kind of moments that I see other teams be. Now we're getting involved in those moments now the last couple of years. So a lot of you that are getting on the bandwagon and watching, I want you to keep watching the playoffs. By the way, watch Boston and Toronto, okay? Florida plays the winner of those two. So let's watch that one. It's tied at 1-1. We are rooting for a nice long series, and let's hope the Panthers can eliminate them. But Bob last night, they have won 11 straight overtime games. That's ice in the veins. Bob is playing at a Vezina-type level. He might even win it this year. But more importantly, he's playing the kind of hockey right now that can lead you to a Stanley Cup. And last night, that save was – it's an all-time great save in NHL history. I'm not going to say it's the best, but I'm sure it's going to be one of those top 50, 100 saves of all time in NHL history. Bob's will be up there when they put up those highlights. Panther history. It happened last night. And I'm happy for Viola and Sifu, who have had the vision, the balls, the character, the determination, the commitment to create a culture and win. And that's exactly what they're doing for you guys. So great stuff. And they went out there and paid Bob a lot of money, and it wasn't working out early on. And it's gotten better now, and Bob is playing now like the Bob that we saw with Columbus. Last night was the Columbus Blue Jackets Bob that was there doing it for your Panthers. He's our Cutter's Edge Pro MVP of the night.
The MVP of the night is brought to you by CuttersEdgePro.com. Servicing HOAs, condominiums, townhomes, commercial properties, corporate parks, and malls throughout South Florida. CuttersEdgePro.com, providing South Florida MVP performance every day of the year.
Baby, oh, trading for Marty Booker. I know, they traded a third-round pick, was it, for Marty Booker? Yeah, or a second-round pick. And then they traded a third round. No, it was a second round pick maybe for Marty Booker. And then they traded a third round pick for a Rams running back. What was the guy's name? And it was like a, just like, a, I mean, the Wanstead Spielman, Wanstead, you know, just, it was all a, God, Jimmy Johnson. I just find that to be one of the most overrated things that we have in South Florida when people talk about it. Not in Dallas. He should be a god in Dallas. An absolute god in Dallas. He deserves to be a god in Dallas. It's funny. In Dallas, he wins two titles, and he leaves a team that any moron could manage to win a title because Barry Switzer, moron. But he left the team and the coaching staff, and all they did was just put a figurehead in place. And it's like, yo, dude, you just got to go handle the press conferences. Everybody else will do the work. And then Dion came over from San Francisco to help him finish it off. So that was Jimmy's team. That's, I always attribute that third title to Jimmy, not even to Barry. Yes, sir.
The name was Lamar Gordon.
Lamar Gordon.
He gained 64 yards on 35 attempts in three games, was injured and done in Miami. And it was a third round pick.
I know. I remember. I remember it was a third round pick. And I think for Marty Booker, we traded a second round pick. Marty had some moments, but, you know, the Lamar Gordon trade.
And by the way, we traded that third round pick for a running back who in two seasons had rushed for 526 yards.
Yeah, no, it's just Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson left you that. He left you that. So while he built the defense, he left the guy that destroyed the defense, wore it out to hell because couldn't figure out the offense. So great job. Just absolutely fantastic job. My wife is a Tampa fan, and I had to hear it on their cup runs. My turn. You damn right, Robert. It's your turn. And by the way, your wife, she deserves every moment she got. She should brag about her Tampa Bay Lightning. They're a freaking great franchise, dude. They are what the Panthers are striving to be. And right now, I think the changing of the guard is happening. That's all. You know, but it won't be easy because Tampa's great, man. They're not going away without a fight. They're a great organization. It's just fun that our organization is now getting to that point where Tampa's been for 10 years now. You know, it's awesome. What they've done in Tampa is so impressive. So I never would diss anything about the Lightning. I have all respect for the Lightning. You know, no respect for the Rays because they don't commit. They like have a great minor league system. They can find some players, but you don't keep them. So screw you, dude. You never spend. So, you know, and you're always asking for handouts. Who the hell are you people? Now St. Petersburg and Tampa are looking to hand. Why? But you people don't spend. You have good baseball people and you don't even help your baseball people with money. That's exactly what, what's this guy's name? Damn it. What's the guy's name that managed the Red Sox and then the Cubs? Jesus, what's his name? The GM, the young guy. Come on, man. Somebody help me out. It's the name of, I'm brain farting now. Well, he said, he looked at it, he goes, oh yeah, Oakland and Tampa, they're using Moneyball, but they have no money. So let me add Epstein.
Epstein.
Thank you. Theo Epstein. Theo Epstein did that in Boston and in the Cubs. He saw what they're doing in Tampa and Oakland. Oh, yeah, that Moneyball stuff is good. The only problem is it needs money. There's a reason why Oakland and Tampa don't get over the top. Moneyball, but, like, it's called Moneyball. And, yeah, you're doing it because you're not spending a lot of money. But, unfortunately, in baseball, it doesn't work that way. You cannot spend and try to overachieve. That's nice. That's not going to win you a title. You need to add money to Moneyball. So you can find the guys that are a bargain, but then you got to add some stars to carry those guys. So that's what Theo said. No, I'll add money to Moneyball, and then I'll go win. And so he had that mix. All right, let's do it. Hour number three, the great Kyle Krabs. Grinding the tape, baby, joins us next.